Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Ponycast. Today we are joined by Dr. Nicole Simons from Camden Equine Centre to talk about back pain in horses. Welcome Dr. Nicole, and thanks for joining us. We are so lucky to have you here with us today. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your time with the Camden Equine Centre?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking me to join you today. So as you said, my name is Dr. Nicole Simons and I'm a sports medicine and rehabilitation specialist at Camden Equine Centre as part of the University of Sydney. My horsey journey started when I was a kid. I used to ride for a bit of fun, just some show jumping and dressage, nothing competitive, but my grandfather was a jockey. So he was the one who drove me around and encouraged my love of horses. I then went to vet school in Adelaide before doing an internship at Goulburn Valley Equine Hospital. And then I went to Queensland and worked at an eye clinic that did a lot of eye work in horses before coming to the University of Sydney to do another internship and then start my residency training with Dr. Robin Bell. When I finished my residency, I went to Mornington Peninsula and worked in private practice as a specialist there for almost 2 years, and that's when I became boarded and officially in a specialist, which is when I've then come back to Camden Equine Centre at the start of this year. My interests in particular is back pain. I'm sure you've probably guessed that by now, which started with my master's research project on ultrasounding of horses' back, and a lot of that research did involve looking at horses in back pain. I also have an interest in lameness and poor performance, and also in client education. So I actually have my own podcast, which is aimed at horse owners, and it's a whole bunch of interviews and topic talks with vets, and that's called the Ultimate Equine Podcast.
Wow, that sounds amazing. All right.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's chat further about back pain and the cause and preventions of back pain in our horse. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Nicole, how can we tell if our horse is suffering from back pain?
So there are a lot of different signs to tell if your horse is suffering from back pain, and every horse is an individual and they're going to show you those signs a little bit differently. So it can be really hard to tell if your horse does have back pain because these signs can be very broad. And the first thing to work out, I guess, is how sensitive your horse is. So I do have some horses that are very sensitive to palpation along the back, which is one of the key signs that your horse is painful, is when you kind of run your hands down the horse's back and see how reactive they are. But some horses are going to react to that much more than others. And it depends, I guess, how tough and how sensitive your individual horse is. So that's one way to tell if your horse is a little bit funny and a little bit painful along their back. Another way to tell could be behavioral changes, and this is where it can get a little bit hard to know exactly what the cause is, as things like gastric ulcers and other forms like lameness can also result in similar behavioral signs. And this can be that they don't like the saddle being put on, and particularly that these signs get worse when they're under saddle and you've got that extra weight on their back. So it can be a little bit hard to know exactly if it's back pain, but it is a representation of pain. And other things are just to look out for are changes, I guess, in your horse's demeanor. Are they suddenly getting unhappier about something? A lot of people say to me that they don't like being groomed in that area anymore, but back pain can be caused by a lot of different things. So generally I just say, you know your horse really well, and if your horse is not being like they normally are and you're noticing changes, then it's worth just getting that checked. I guess probably the most confusing one people often report is bucking. And it gets confusing because horses that have a really sore back often don't actually buck because it hurts them to do that. They have to engage a lot of muscles to you know, kick a rider off. And so horses that have bad back pain actually don't often do big bucks. But in some instances, they might do little bucks to try and get the rider off. So I don't exclude back pain when people tell me that the horse is bucking, but if they're doing big bronco bucks, I think it might be a little bit less likely.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting. What are some of the common causes of horses getting back pain?
Yeah, so when it comes to causes of back pain, I divide it up into primary causes, secondary causes, and behavioral causes. And then within that, I divide it up into muscle and bone. So primary causes are causes that are coming, I guess, directly from the back itself. And so when we're looking at the bone of the back, this most commonly kissing spines or overriding of the dorsal spinous processes is probably the one that most people know about. But you can also get other changes within the vertebrae, which are a bit less common. And I also wonder if there's a lot in that region that we don't know about yet, because we can't image that area very well. We can't CT it. We can't MRI it. We know that there's a lot in humans and dogs that we can't see in a horse. So I wonder if there's other causes that we don't know about, but that's an area for future research. And then when it comes to primary muscular causes, the things I look out for is trauma. So this could be from the saddle, but this could also be from, I sometimes describe it as horse rider mismatch, when maybe the rider is a little bit too big for the horse that they're riding. And then also you can also get trauma from, you know, rubbing of the rug, but then also direct trauma. So if they've fallen over and hurt themselves that way. But you can also get primary muscle causes, which could be, say, a tear in the muscle or a strain in the muscle. They're probably the most common primary causes, but I think overall secondary muscular back pain is the most common cause of back pain I see. And that's when the back pain is caused by something else. And most often that's hind limb lameness. So hind limb lameness is a big cause of secondary back pain. And I guess if you think about, hopefully you haven't had any lameness or back pain issues, but I know from talking to a lot of people who've had particularly chronic or long-term lameness problems, they do get a lot of secondary back pain, and often they find that as painful or even lingering longer than the lameness aspect of it. So secondary causes of back pain are really common, and the most common type of lameness, well, back pain associated lameness that I see. And then the final cause is behavioral. So essentially sometimes it is that your horse is a training concern, and it's a response that's not actually associated with pain.
Yeah, right. And how do you diagnose this back pain in the horses?
So that's a good question. So the way I approach diagnosis in back pain is firstly to rule out a secondary cause. As I said, it is the most common. So I perform a lameness exam and see, is there any lameness behind? Because there's no point targeting the back pain if we don't get rid of that primary problem. And if we do find a hind limb lameness, we treat that hind limb lameness. And I do offer some extra support for the back as well, because even if, say, they've got hock arthritis, which we see a lot of, particularly in performance horses, if we treat that hock arthritis, it does take a bit of time for that secondary back pain to resolve. So I do provide some pain relief and support through that time period. If we've ruled out a lameness cause, so we've ruled out secondary back pain, the key parts to diagnosis include your physical exam. So for me, a horse that's got back pain does have to be sore on palpation of the back. And like I said, horses can react very differently. Some are very sensitive, while some, you know, are very stoic. So it does depend on the individual horse what the response is that I see. But one thing to remember, particularly if you're feeling your horse's back at home, is that when they dip away from you, that's actually a good thing. So when I'm palpating a horse's back, I expect they should move away from my hands. And that tells me that their muscles aren't that sore, because they're moving away from me. When I'm feeling along the horse's back and they tense up against me and they don't want to move away from me, that's an indicator to me that they actually are quite muscular sore in that region. And then on the other end of the scale, the ones that are really painful, I find will actually try to bite me, kick back, run away from me. So they're the ones that are much more severe. So there is a bit of a scale there, a bit of a spectrum. But if you are feeling your horse's back, my main sign that they are painful is that they tense up and don't like me feeling it. I then look at how the horse engages its back naturally. So often I'll do this at a canter and look at them on the lunge and see if they're a horse that will naturally use their back. A lot of thoroughbreds don't use their backs that much, and you watch and they are quite flat backed and don't naturally engage their back muscles. And then the next stage really is imaging of the back. And unfortunately, as I alluded to before, it is quite a difficult area to image because they have so much muscle mass, they're big animals, and we're limited as to what modalities can actually access and see that area. So x-rays are probably the first thing that we do. Most vets can do it in the field, and it will give us an idea of if there's any underlying bony changes there. The only problem with x-rays is that changes that come up on x-rays may be old and not causing a current problem, or they may be associated with the current clinical picture. And that's one of the reasons why the horse needs to be sore for me on clinical exam as well. As an example, I've seen some horses that have no issues with back pain. They palpate fine. Owners are really happy with them. Often this might be a pre-purchase exam, and then you take an x-ray of their back and they've got really bad kissing spines. But that kissing spines isn't actually causing a problem right now. So we do have to combine the clinical picture with what we're seeing on the x-rays. Another option is ultrasound of the back, which we can use to have a closer look at the muscles. But really, nucleus scintigraphy gives us, in some cases, the most information. And this is in two respects. One respect is it tells us if those bony changes in the back are active and are actually causing an issue, but it can also rule out pain as a potential cause. So if I have a horse that we are concerned that it could be behavioral or it could be pain related, we can use the bone scan to screen the horse and rule out pain being a potential cause. Another way to do this would be to use an anti-inflammatory trial. So we essentially put the horse on pain relief for a good 2 weeks and see if it changes what the horse does. If the horse doesn't change, then to me that tells me that it's either behavioral or that it's a mechanical cause. If it does change, then there is a pain association there and we need to work out where that pain's coming from. So unfortunately, it is a little bit of a ruling out type scenario when it does come to back pain, because it is basically them just displaying a sign of pain and we need to work out exactly what or where it's coming from. But that's usually how I at least approach back pain.
Yeah, perfect. And so once you've diagnosed a horse with back pain, how do you then treat it?
So for me, the number one way to treat back pain in horses is rehabilitation. So there's a lot of studies out there that talk about the success of surgeries and you know, particularly when it comes to kissing spines, a lot of people will go ahead and do surgery. And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but from when I went through all the research, a lot of the success has actually come from the rehabilitation that comes after the surgery. So it can be a little bit confusing when you read the papers in that most of the time they haven't done a significant strengthening program before they go ahead and do the surgery, or they've only done very limited exercises and they've gone and done the rehab program after the surgery. And I think it'd be very hard to say, was it the surgery or was it the rehabilitation that made the difference? So I actually haven't had any kissing spine horses go to surgery that I have seen, that I know of at least. But I do find that clients who prefer rehabilitation and I guess the medical treatment will come to see me, and those who are more interested in surgery will probably go see a surgeon. So it is probably a little bit dependent on the clients that I do see. But for me, strengthening is the main aspect of treatment, and that's based a lot and come a lot from human research, where there's a lot of research into particularly knee pain and back pain in humans where they want to avoid doing surgery, and they find that set physio programs can actually help strengthen those areas and avoid them having to do surgery, which is great. So we have now applied that a lot to horses, and I do find personally I have a lot of success. It can take a lot of work though. And in regards to that, we also need the horse to be able to do the program. And the problem is, if a horse is painful, it's not going to use its muscles properly. It's not going to do the program properly, and therefore it won't get stronger. So the first part is actually to provide pain relief so that the horse is able to perform the program. But the program itself is what makes a difference. So different ways of providing pain relief are systemically. So we can give them bute usually, or some sort of anti-inflammatory that's going to provide pain relief to the whole body. But we can target the area. So if we know that there's bony changes, we can inject a steroid into that area to provide anti-inflammatory relief as well as pain relief. We can also do things like acupuncture, massage, shockwave. There's a whole bunch of different things that we use to kind of keep on top of it and manage that pain relief. And then they're able to do the program properly.
Awesome. And what strengthening exercises can we do with our horses to help them in this program?
So the biggest thing when it comes to strengthening exercises is to make sure that the horse is performing them properly. So I do a lot of lunging work with horses in a frame, and that is really important, because if you do watch a lot of horses, like I said, those thoroughbreds that would just canter around and don't really use their backs at all, they often won't engage their backs unless you make them do it. So I do a lot of work in like transition, so walk to trot on the lunge, but they do need to be in either a Pessoa system or side reins or whatever system you like. I have been told by a few clients that the Pessoa system is a little bit difficult to put on, so I'm sorry for those people who have the Pessoas that I keep recommending, but it does work well in making them actually work in a frame. The other thing that we use a lot is high stepping. So trot poles, again, also needs to be in a frame because they need to be using those back muscles. But if you live near water, if you're near the beach and you're lucky enough to, I guess, have that luxury, if you take them out into the water, it can be a lot of fun to just make sure that they're lifting their legs high. So I guess it needs to be shallow enough that they're still walking through it and lifting those legs. But that's really good for core and back strength as well. And I often recommend to people that it is really quality over quantity, but the more we do, the quicker you'll see the results. So I often recommend a 5-day-a-week program with 2 days off. And on those 2 days off, having the physio, having a rest day, having a massage, just to keep them going. Because I know that when I go to the gym after a bit of a break, I'm a little bit sore when I'm using my muscles for the first time. So I know our horses are as well. So we do need to support them through it. But when you're watching them, there's no point going for long sessions if they're getting tired, because if they're not using it properly, they're not going to achieve what we're trying to achieve. So I like to work sessions up to half an hour, but if your horse isn't fit enough to do that, and you might think your horse is really fit, and then when you start making them actually do the exercises properly, you notice that actually they're getting tired a lot quicker than you expect. Give them a bit of a break or do regular shorter sessions rather than a couple of really long sessions. So I often will give people my clients, a gold standard program, which is the ideal if you're able to do that. But I also say to people that if you're not going to do the program at all because you look at it and you're like, that's too hard, that's too much work, I can't be bothered, I prefer you to do some of it and make it work for you than not to do it at all. It just will take longer.
Yeah, definitely. The quality, not the quantity.
100%.
How can we condition our horse to prevent them from getting back pain?
So what I recommend doing is once your horse has established a top line, and it is important to make sure that it is muscle and that your horse just isn't well conditioned and maybe a little bit on the choppy side. We want to make sure that it's muscle that they've developed along their spine, is to incorporate those exercises into your regular work. So maybe if you do 5-10 minutes of trot poles once a week at the start of a session as a bit of a warm up, or if you just do a little bit of lunging in a frame, or when you are working your horse, if you're not, I find a lot of dressage riders, you're working in a frame anyway, so they do find the maintenance a lot easier. But if you are a rider that isn't doing a lot of work in a frame, to incorporate that once or twice a week, even just 5-10 minutes before you go out on your trial, just to try and encourage them to use their back muscles. Another thing you can consider are carrot stretches. There's some research by particularly Hillary Clayton into different types of carrot stretches. As you say, look them up on YouTube and there's descriptions on how to do them. But there was a good study that showed doing, I think there was 5 different exercises, and it was about 5 days a week for 5 minutes, I think. They did notice that there was an increase in the size of their core strength and their abdominal muscles as well. So I say incorporating carrot stretches, even just before you go for a ride or afterwards, is a good way to engage and interact with your horse. So it's a little bit of fun, but it's also going to help maintain that strengthening as well.
Perfect. And it also builds a bond with them as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how can we manage it if our horses are suffering from back pain?
Yeah, so if you know your horse has got an ongoing issue with back pain and you've got your diagnosis and you've got your rehab plan, some other things you can do to help manage would be making sure that their backs are nice and warm. So often people talk about the horses being cold backed. Different ways you can warm your horses back up include heat lamps. I have been to one or two very lucky stables who have the heat lamps, and they do pop their horse under there for, you know, 10-15 minutes as they're saddling up to help warm them back up. If you're not fortunate enough to have your own heat lamps at your stables, you can just use things like heat packs, even warm wet towels, things like that, just to help warm up the back before you start riding your horse. As long as you can basically hold it on your skin for 5 or 10 minutes without burning yourself, then that's fine to put on the horse's back. Other thing that's really important is ensuring that your saddle fits. So as I said before, saddle fit is a cause of trauma, but also as your horse gets fitter and stronger and builds up its top line, its shape is going to change and therefore the saddle fit is going to change. So I do think regular saddle fits are really important, and get a saddle fitter that you trust and that is working well for you and your horse. And then basically it's just keeping on top of the pain. So like I said, things like acupuncture, shockwave, physiotherapy, massage, just making sure that you're keeping your horse moving and comfortable and, you know, keeping that routine up. I know that I will, when I'm training regularly, go to a, you know, massage or chiro and get some dry needling done so that I don't get any secondary muscular pain. And I think it helps our horses as well.
Yeah, definitely. And if I'm worried that my horse has a sore back, what should I do?
So the best thing to do is really contact your vet. But before you do that, it is handy to make sure that your saddle does fit. So when you do come to your vet, you can help rule that out. And when you do have a vet exam, I often do recommend people bring their saddle along as well, so I can look at the sweat marks and the dirt marks on the horse and the saddle to see if it is causing any irritation or rubbing. But getting your saddle fit checked is something you can do first, so you can help rule that in or out. And then having your vet come out and do an assessment to at least make sure that there's no lameness that's contributing to the back pain. And then they can discuss with you different options, whether you look at doing an anti-inflammatory trial to work out if it's pain versus behavior, or what the best course of action is to go from there. But they'll be able to help you have, you know, personalized advice for your specific horse and your specific case, and then they can come up with a rehab plan that's going to suit you both.
Yeah, wow, that's some pretty cool information there for our members, isn't it? So yeah, well, I'd like to thank you, Dr. Nicole, for your time today and for educating our members and talking about back pain. And we really hope that this information helps them recognize and manage this much easier. So
thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been a lot of fun. And if people want more information, I do have two quite long detailed episodes on the Ultimate Equine Podcast. And we are at Camden Equine Center going to be doing a webinar in towards the end of January on strengthening exercises for particularly back pain and also locking stifles.
Yeah, awesome. We'll definitely have to put that information out and let everyone know. Thanks for your time, Dr. Nicole.
Thank you so much.